Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
He's right, you know. Good morning, everybody. I'm Mark Lawrence, subpar host of the show, program director here at WKOK and WKOK.com. You can email me at mlawrence@wkok.com and tell me.
Why would we want to be doing that now, matey?
Excuse me?
This is National Talk Like a Pirate Day. Didn't you hear that? It was on the news right before we went on the air.
I didn't hear it on the news. I happen to know that it's National Pirates Day.
Talk like a pirate.
Right, talk like a pirate.
I have asked you, mateys.
Okay. What else?
Are you scurvy dog?
Okay. And that's just a typical Republican rhetoric from Joe, a pirate version. I'm not going to do my pirate imitation.
That's because you can't do one.
Right. No, I cannot do one. You're right. I bring a lot of deficits to this program.
One of them is not being able to do a pirate voice.
Right. Exactly. But fortunately, we have listeners who can do it all, know it all, have great opinions, are highly informed, and are prepared. So that sort of compensates.
Aye, that be so, matey.
All right, thank you. All right, well, there goes our first mate, Joe McGranahan. On the other side of the glass, wearing his eye patch today, is Rob Center, and Matt Cotrillo is over in the newsroom, and he's wearing a striped bandana.
You're talking about peg leg Cotrillo?
Yes. Are you having fun? Is this enjoyable for you?
I'm going to stop now.
You can tell you have a grandchild. I'll bet the best way to describe the relationship. Oh, that's right. Yeah, good point. The best way to describe you and your grandson is that you guys have a blast, I'll bet. Is that right?
I enjoy being with him.
I'll bet. And I'll bet he enjoys having you around. He's probably going to ask you, oh, do that pirate voice like you did on the talk show today.
No, I think he'd say I was embarrassing him.
Well, that's the nature of kids. They say that, too. All right. Well, we have open phones today. Joe is here. He is wearing a pirate costume, so he's kind of dressed to the part. And I saw there was a big wooden...
You didn't mention the parrot on my shoulder.
The parrot on your shoulder. That's part of the outfit. All right, so Joe's taking this way too far. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. And the toll-free line is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy in Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. You are welcome throughout our program and always to email us at onthemark@wkok.com and you can text us at 70236. We would just love to hear from you today. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We have our iconoclast, Cindy, on the line. Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, yesterday when Joe called me an iconoclast, I thought perhaps he was walking me off the plank, my token pirate comment.
Thank you.
But in doing some research, I discovered that he put me in heady company. And so, Joe, I just have to thank you. I'm happy to stand shoulder to shoulder with Elizabeth Cady Stanton, Susan Blackwell, Alice Paul, Gandhi, Martin Luther King. I mean, the list goes on and on. Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak. You know, there are a lot of people who
they
have
all challenged the established order.
Yes, they did. Every one of them did. And good things came from their behavior. Elizabeth Regina I. All those people stood up for what they believed in. And
who?
Elizabeth Regina I, the
queen
first
Elizabeth?
Queen of England.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you.
All those
he doesn't
people,
know anything about pirates either.
There is a female pirate, but I forget her name. I should have looked it up before I called. There is a famous woman
yes,
who
there
was
is. I don't remember her name either. That's terrible.
Well, here we go. But I do remember these other famous people, and there are many more whom I have not named. But Jonas Salk, for example, who swore, you know, who stood up against the conventional mechanism for vaccinating against polio and invented a whole new kind that changed the paradigm. I mean, there are just lots of people in our country who, for one reason or another, take exception to the things that have become established order, and thank goodness they do, because they've improved our lives enormously. So thank you, Joe.
Yeah, Joe.
You're
welcome.
Not a man giving me compliments.
Service. Yeah, thanks, Joe. You've done nothing but encourage her. So.
That's true.
We try to dissuade our callers.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, you're in for a crushing disappointment.
How about it? All right. Well, thank you so much for the information. And I'm glad that we've already known we've had you in rarefied air, so we really do appreciate you calling in and adding the verification. Joe, thank you so much for pointing out what we've all learned through the years, that Cindy is a real go-to when it comes to
an iconoclast.
Oh, right. Really, a wide range of important pieces of information. So thank you so much. Thank you, Cindy. Thanks for calling in. Rarefied Air is where Joe is today, dressed in a pirate outfit with a parrot on his shoulder, speaking only in pirate tees. And strangely enough, he's a broadcaster, which they hate pirating. They don't like anybody to steal music.
Never like pirate radio stations either.
Right. Yeah, that's all bad stuff. But Joe doesn't mind. Now, will you be eating at Long John Silver's today? That is
you get something free there if you go in and talk like a parrot.
Oh, okay.
You mean
like a sandwich or
no, I heard
dessert?
On the news that was the story that this national Talk Like a Pirate Day, and if you talk like a pirate, somebody at one of these fast food places, mm-hmm. I think it's a seafood place, it's either Long John's.
Yeah, no, it is Long John's. Yeah, no,
they're all part of the promotion. Give you something if you go in and talk like a pirate.
Maybe Hush Puppies. Those are good. Those are the little bread balls.
Yeah, I know what they are. They are good.
So we could use one of those.
Well, I don't know what you get, but go in and just talk like a pirate and see what they give you.
That's pretty much sound advice everywhere, anywhere. So, yes, talk like a pirate and see what happens. You may get committed, but you may get welcomed. You just never know what's going to happen. All right, 1-800-795-9565 is the open phone now, and we would just love to talk to you about important topics. Important local people want to talk to you, is Kevin's old promotional announcement related to that. And so we'd like to talk to you about anything you wish. The Brett Kavanaugh rhetoric is heating up with lots of folks blaming the victim, including Joe, so he can talk about some of his...
I'm not blaming the victim at all.
Oh, I believe you are.
I believe I'm not.
I think it's easily verified. So we'll talk about that shortly.
She said what she wanted to do was have a chance to testify. They offered her one. I thought it was a very reasonable thing they did, saying that on Monday we will hear from both you and Judge Kavanaugh, and then we'll go from there. You know, it seemed to me that there's nothing that she's going to tell them that would preclude an investigation if it led to further details. Her letter requesting or spelling this out was very thin on detail. She has an opportunity Monday morning to meet with the committee to talk to them about what happened to the best of her recollection. And if her recollection and the judge's denial don't seem to add up, then there's plenty of time for an investigation going from there. But without further information from her, how can they investigate?
Well, apparently she's interested in more investigation, so we'll see what happens. That is on the docket for Monday, and Judge Kavanaugh is ready to testify, and so he will at least go. She may not go. She's asking for an FBI investigation, which is kind of a strange thing for a defendant to, or a victim to say, okay, well, I only want this particular law enforcement agency to investigate.
First of all, what she accuses him of is not a federal crime.
Okay, well, then there you go. So there you go. In this particular case, the victim is calling for an investigation that's not appropriate. All right, 1-800-795-9565. What's your opinion about this? We have talked about this in passing earlier this week, and we can continue the conversation. We certainly are not blaming the victim. We know that her requirement that the FBI investigate was reported last night and promptly posted at WKOK.com. It's something that is she won't testify unless the FBI investigates. So therefore, the FBI investigation, as Joe pointed out, isn't exactly appropriate. The most that it could do is find out that there might have been a violation of the law half a century ago.
There were three people in the room, allegedly.
Well, the worst case scenario is that it finds out that a law was broken back in that time, and we'll assume that a law was broken. We'll stipulate that what she says is true.
All right, but who's going to be the witness that comes
forward? But nobody's going to prosecute. I mean, there can be no prosecution. No state law
but it would affect
it. Still exists.
It would have an impact on his credibility. if he denied it, and there turned out to be evidence that it was, you know, it actually happened. But I think what bothers me here is I don't see what an investigation would prove. How would it unearth anything? She says, and this is why I think the committee needs to meet with her and talk to her. She said that after the incident, he and his friend supposedly went downstairs in their drunken state and were talking to other people where she put on her clothes or readjusted her clothing, whatever, and left. And never saw him again, according to her testimony. So what is an investigation exactly going to prove, and how would it prove anything?
Well, it could,
she doesn't remember where the party was. She
it's not going to change anything. There's, you know, the Senator or Judge Kavanaugh's testimony may have changed the minds of some Democrats earlier. And now this information is not going to change the minds of any Republicans. They're the enemy of the Me Too movement. So therefore, you're not going to see any change.
They're the enemy of the Me Too movement.
Well, empirically, I mean, statistically and in reality, they are. I'm sure you don't.
I don't think Harvey Weinstein was a Republican. Do you?
No, I think there's Democrats.
I think there are
Democrats who are very much in support of the Me Too movement, and you will find that
we're
Republicans
very much defenders of the Me Too movement,
and
that
and the Republicans do not believe this young lady, so they are not going to change their mind in their vote. So no votes are going to change.
And
so that's
Democrats
the outcome.
Don't disbelieve her, so no minds are going to change there either.
Right.
Let's be fair about it.
I think I just said no minds are going to be changed.
You said no Republican minds are going.
That
to be
was
changed.
2 minutes ago. Get with the program here. Now, no Republican or Democratic or independent minds are going to be changed by what she or he has to say in the weeks ahead. I like whomever it was that tweeted overnight, let's just go with the vote, you know, skip all this extra testimony. We've certainly heard enough about this. She's not interested in testifying. He's ready to go. That's sufficient. We know he's denying it. So that's, you know, you can hear that in an 8-hour version or you can hear it in a 2-sentence version.
Well, if nothing else, I think he should submit himself to the senators and let them grill him about it.
Well, that much is going to happen.
Right.
That's already scheduled. So that, yeah, that will occur. But then after that, let's run the vote and let's get this gone. And you know, no Republican's going to vote against him. No Democrat's going to vote.
That may not be true.
Really?
Flake has said he wanted to hear from her. Now, whether or not that changes now that she has changed her song. Originally, she wanted to testify. Now she wants an investigation first.
Well, I don't think she's changed her mind. She may have had this condition all along. I mean, her information's coming out in just little dribs and drabs here. The fact is that she wants an FBI investigation. That's not appropriate. That's not going to happen. She wants local police to investigate a 40-year-old crime. She can certainly write a letter to the local DA and ask
for that. She doesn't remember where it happened, so that would leave the jurisdiction.
Well, I'm sure she remembers. All right, how about this? What state it happened in? You know, she probably remembers it was in California or...
I believe it was in Maryland.
Okay, well, that's fine. Send a note to the district attorney, the state attorney general of Maryland, and say that you think this crime happened on or about this date in this town with this perpetrator and these individuals who
and
are
what
witnesses.
What would happen if I sent a note like that about you? I believe Mark Lawrence in 1927.
It would be 77 would be the equivalent for me, 1977.
1977. He did something really terrible, and I think you ought to look into it.
And you know what they would tell you to do?
They would tell you that we have plenty of active crimes we have to deal with. We don't have time to deal one that nothing could be proven about and happened 30 years ago.
Right, and it's not an ongoing situation. I'm not, you know, doing that which I did in the 1970s in an ongoing fashion. Well, I do nothing today that I did in the 70s.
They say it might come down to he said, she said. And if that's so, there's still the issue of credibility. Whose testimony is more credible? Juries decide that all the time.
All right, well, suppose, let's, you know, you and the first that sentence out of your mouth, and we discussed this Monday, was let's stipulate that this actually happened.
For the sake of argument.
Right, so... I don't think that's even then is going to change anybody's mind. He's obviously not lived his life in accordance with whatever was driving his behavior at that moment.
Allegedly.
He's no longer inebriated.
Allegedly.
Well, he's obviously not drunk all the time. You know,
he may have been inebriated. Having a beer.
Right. He may have been inebriated then, but he isn't now, and he hasn't been through all of his decades on the bench, and he is, you know, whatever bad behavior he committed at Georgetown Prep.
May have.
He's We've stipulated that he did it.
I just want to make it clear we're stipulating.
Okay. All right. So whatever he may have done in the 19, whether it be the 1980s for him, he no longer does that on a regular basis. So, all right. Well, we'll take your opinions on this. Clearly, Joe and I don't agree on this and could argue for days, and we would not torture you with such an argument, but we would love to hear your opinion. What's your view on this? Text us at 70236. That's our Text Connect system. You can join the growing number of individuals who receive emergency messages from us, road closures, tornadic weather, important flood warning information, school closures because of significant changes that happen around here are the kind of thing that go out on Text Connect. You can sign up at WKOK.com. It's a text message directly to your cell phone, similar to what a school or other organizations send out, and it's just a quick link. If you don't care about what's being said in the Text Connect, don't hit the link. If you do, hit the link, and it takes you to WKOK.com with more information. But it's two-way communication. You can send us a message at 70236. If you'd like, you can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. And, of course, the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line is open. 1-800-795-9565 is the telephone number. 1-800-795-WKOK. On the Mark, brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company. Two locations. The family-owned dealership on 4th Street in Sunbury, right between Lincoln and Washington Streets. Or you can go to the new Kia dealership on Routes 11 and 15 in Holmes Wharf. Well, they've been there for 12 years, but I call it new. And they are an opportunity for you to check out the Kia. Fabulous automobile. Greatest owner loyalty of any vehicle made in America. Go see Ernie and Austin and the rest of the crew over there, and they'll set you up in a minivan, a real sporty vehicle, a nice sedan, or a comfortable, almost a luxury sedan. They got hybrid models, you name it. Kia on the cutting edge. You can check out the Hyundai. Ultra sporty. Check out the Veloster. That's my favorite car. But they got a lot of other models there, including a minivan that is just a super duper. Ultra comfortable. We see a lot of guys driving those around with lumber in the back and kids on the front, and just making sure that they're using the right vehicle. Of course, Ford and Lincoln at the Sunbury Motor Company on Market Street in Sunbury. If you're not sure what I'm talking about, which I rarely do, you can get all the details, all the facts are posted at sunburymotors.com.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate's life for me. We pillage, we plunder, we rifle and loot. Drink up, me hearties, yo ho. We kidnap and ravage and don't give a hoot. Drink up, me hearties, yo ho. Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate's life for me.
Wow. 13 men on a dead man's chest.
Well, that sounds like a terrible.
Well, pirates weren't the best of citizens.
Well, clearly.
But some of them were very helpful. One of them helped win the Battle of New Orleans for the United States in the War of 1812, John Lafitte.
Okay, and he was a pirate.
Aye, that he was, matey.
Okay. Do all pirates talk like that?
I don't know. Some of them have French accents like John Lafitte. I can't do a pirate with a French accent.
Do they? Don't look to me.
All right, I won't.
I'm out of this conversation. All right. Thank you so much, Rob. Fabulous producer. Appropriate bumper music.
Never heard that one before. I like it, though, Rob. Thanks.
What is that from, Rob?
It's Yo-Ho, Yo-Ho, A Pirate's Life from Out. I thought it was a traditional thing, but apparently it may not be. Does that come from Pirates of the Caribbean, the original Walt Disney?
Probably from
attraction?
There.
That's going to be my guess.
Yeah. It's not the original song. I was thinking, eight men on a dead man's chest or 16 men on a dead man's chest? That's the one that's a traditional pirate song, and I can't remember it. Yo-ho-ho and a bottle of rum.
Yeah. I'll see if I can find that.
So they are standing on the dead man's chest. Well, no wonder he's dead if there's 16 men standing on him.
Maybe it's 8 men, 12 men. I forget how many
Well,
men
still, that's too
chest.
Many.
Right. One man on the dead man's chest is too many.
That's like a modern police issue. You know, how many police officers can you get on one chest?
On a dead man's chest?
Well, they end up dead.
And then they're drinking rum on top of it, yo-ho-ho, in a bottle of rum.
Well, nothing wrong with that. That's the hopeful portion of our story. All right, well, welcome aboard, everybody. This is a few extra moments of frivolity this morning. We thank Rob for helping us with that. And we are talking about a dead serious topic. This is the woman who's come forward, did so over the summer. Has Diane Feinstein said why she didn't come up with the information until lately?
I don't know, but she had it. You know, she turned it over. Someone was analyzing how this whole thing should have been played out. If she had turned it over to the FBI
immediately,
if she had done that, apparently all they would have done is passed it on to the White House, because it's, the way I heard one reporter describe it is that their job is to gather information about the candidate, and pass it on to the White House for the vetting process. In other words, in theory, they would say, we found he was arrested for drunk driving in 1982. You know, he was arrested for shoplifting in 1983.
Well, and they find out a lot of good information, too, to be clear.
It's a background investigation. In other words, it's not looking into any crimes they may have committed. It's looking into their history as a person, and whether they did commit any crimes, whether there's anything in the public record that would disqualify them from serving. And they would pass that on to the White House, and then the White House people who vet these candidates would ask him about it and determine whether or not. Well, I'm sure one of the first questions they say, is there anything in your background that if it came out and became public would preclude you from serving in this office?
That includes you pummeling a woman on Georgetown Prep in 1981.
Or Ellison dragging a woman off of bed and yelling and cursing at her and hitting her. So what's the, you know, there's a difference here, I think, in the way this is being handled. But I think what's really interesting is the fact that people like Elizabeth Warren are trying to make hay out of it. She, over the weekend, she drew criticism yesterday after sharing a clip of Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh discussing his days at Georgetown Preparatory School. The editing of the clip seems designed to fuel the fire over sexual misconduct allegations against the judge. In the short video posted on Warren's Twitter page, Kavanaugh was heard speaking at the Columbus Law School at the Catholic University of America in 2015 about his school years. He said, but fortunately, we had a good saying that we've held firm to this day. As the dean was reminding me before the talk, which is what happened at Georgetown Prep stays at Georgetown Prep, that's been a good thing for all of us, I think. Now, that you're just editing that clip without the rest of it makes it sound like he's admitting to bad behavior at Georgetown Prep. But that's not what he said. He was talking about three friends of his.
Okay, so
prior to this. But Elizabeth Warren edited it
right.
And put it out to make it look like he's saying something bad.
So she's doing what all these politicians on both sides of the aisle do.
She's trying to raise money with it.
Misleading clips on both sides. Well, I think there's lots of fodder here for both sides to have a nasty, uninformed argument. But let's hear from him if she wants an FBI investigation, obviously that's not going to happen. But if she wants some further criminal investigation or police investigation, you know, let her do that. If she wants to meet behind closed doors, if she doesn't want Kavanaugh in the room, you know, whatever it is. Let's just get that out of the way. And let's get on with the vote. None of this is going to change any votes. That's the key here, is that he's going to be the next U.S. Supreme Court nominee. Let's move on. There's nobody who has sufficient respect for her viewpoints to change their view to the no. There's nobody who has sufficient respect for him to change their vote to yes in the Senate. So let's get on with it. You know,
it's political theater.
Right. Well, that's what it is. And you and I are on the stage today, so with no other actors with us. So
right.
I think that,
so we're going to move on.
That's a pretty telling performance. So hopefully.
Well, unfortunately, you know, you hate to keep talking about the same thing, but something comes up different every day about this. And it really, I mean, I think people need to hear what she has to say. They need to hear what he has to say. And I think juries decide all the time whether or not witnesses are credible or not credible. And I think that after the senators are perfectly capable, as I agree with you, nobody's mind's going to change. But they would be, if they had open minds, they would be perfectly able to determine that who they felt gave the most credible testimony.
I guess you could. But, you know, okay, so again, let's do that brief stipulation that we've done a couple times this week. Let's say he did it when he was in high school. in 1981.
Right, that's, are you still the same person you were
honestly,
in high school?
Honestly, let's move on. Oh, yeah. Yeah, usually we're trying to overlook something far more recent when you and I use that phrase. So, all right, well, we have some additional things to talk about today. We found a pickle in a high school where a boy who ran a, who wore some makeup on his face was kicked out of school, or kicked out of class anyway, and because he was wearing makeup, and he found out that the dress code is pretty one-sided. So that's led to a conversation. So we're going to read that. We have that. One of our good listeners sent us a note about the booming economy and what its impact is on wages and revenues in Washington, D.C. It's going to give them a lot more money to waste in Washington, and so therefore we'll read that. And the bottom line is the bottom line on this, and that's that the increased revenue would help offset the deficit created by the tax cuts. So,
isn't that exactly what the president said would happen?
I believe
that revenues would go up.
He did say that. Well, and we talked about this 2 weeks ago when the Chamber of Commerce was here on the unemployment number day, and that would be 2 weeks to the two weeks and 2 days ago. We did talk about the fact that wages are creeping up, and that is a necessary byproduct of low unemployment.
Right.
Is that, you know, even companies that, well, if there is any place that pays minimum wage anymore, they can't do it anymore. We have, you know, places that typically were close to minimum wage, paying $10, $12, $11 an hour. It's not going to be that far down the line that we're going to have companies paying $15 a wage, which is that proposed minimum wage threshold anyway. So we're going to keep talking about that. We have an exciting hour planned, but first, CBS News is next. Then we'll have some local news headlines. We'll tell you about a big grant to move some shoals in Danville. This is WKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome back to WKOK's live telephone talk show. On the Mark, welcome back to the talk show.
You're having a bit of trouble there, Mickey.
Here we go. All right. On the other side of the glass, Rob Center, Matt Cotrillo's in the newsroom. Peg Leg Matt, as he's known. Or no, Peg Leg Cotrillo, as he's known. And Rob Center with the eye patch on the other side of the glass. I'm in disbelief. And Joe McGranahan is better known as Sailor Joe today, and he's the captain of the pirate ship that's parked out front. It's an old wooden frigate, four sails. It's a nice one. A very fast schooner, right? Not one of the traditional old...
Hey, it's a four-master with six guns.
Is it? Okay. Thank you. I had to ask. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check him out at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. The toll-free line sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy in Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. Some brief news headlines. Danville has received a $200,000 grant through the Commonwealth Financing Authority to assist in a flood mitigation project. That work along Mahoning Creek comes after it was revealed that the entire creek channel was affected by shoaling. That's the buildup of rock and sediment at the base of the creek that leads to sandbars and displaces some of the floodwaters. It could lead to a loss in federal flood relief funding money in the future. There was a project calls for the removal of the shoaling or all the sediment and rock in Danville. Republican gubernatorial candidate Scott Wagner is accusing public officials and Democrats in particular of failing to combat urban poverty, and he says he'd get his administration involved in the fight. Wagner told a Chamber of Commerce of Greater Philadelphia event Tuesday that the Downtown Pyramid Club that he'd establish a low-interest loan fund for people wanting to start a business in the poverty-stricken areas, and he would partner with firms like Uber and Lyft if necessary to make mass transportation more available. He noted that Philadelphia is ranked as the nation's poorest major city, and he questions what Philadelphians and other urban dwellers have to lose by supporting him. The Wagner also says he'd retool public assistance programs and overhaul sentencing, probation, and parole systems that are unduly punitive. Wagner is challenging Democratic Governor Tom Wolf in the November election. A legal argument has been revived in Louisiana over whether a black defendant can get a fair trial in a courthouse where a Confederate monument is still displayed. Niles Hamer, a lawyer for the defendant Ronnie Anderson, says the answer is no. Hamer says he filed a motion yesterday to have Anderson's case moved out of state court in East Feliciana Parish, where a Confederate monument stands outside the courthouse. A judge rejected a similar motion in August, saying Hamer filed too late, but the district attorney has since filed a new charge against Anderson, illegal possession of a stolen weapon. That gives Hamer an opportunity to renew the argument. He says the monument sends a message that black defendants cannot get a fair trial.
Well, we have a call coming in, but I'd like to comment on that for a moment. What does what's outside the building have to do with whether a fair trial can take place inside the building?
Well, I think the monument is a testimony to the mindset of the individuals within the building.
So if there was a statue of Martin Luther King outside, would I assume that as a white person I wouldn't get a fair trial there?
No, I think you'd see fairness, equality, and justice served up.
And
that's what
that
he stood for.
That has nothing to do with what's outside the building. It has to do with what's in the hearts and minds of the people inside the building.
No, I think the attorney's got an argument there that you can say that this is still the mindset of the residents in the community. They support the Confederacy. The South will rise again. They keep the monument up as a testimony to that.
You're the only person I've heard say the South will rise again any time in the last 30 years.
Well, you haven't been to enough monster truck shows, clearly.
No, I don't go to any monster truck.
Okay, well, there you go. You got to go where the flags are. So, but I think, yeah, I think they have a point. I think if that's the mindset of the county residents, that the way things were in Antebellum South is ideal, and people who fought for that are heroes, then I think an individual of color would not have the perception of a fair trial anyway. It may turn out that he would get a fair trial, but in this particular case,
well,
I think the
right.
perception
he may,
is that he wouldn't.
He may feel that the perception is such, but I still say it's more important what's in the hearts and minds of the people who are making the decisions.
Well, that
and
is true.
If he was found guilty, if he was arrested for something, was he supposed the whole town has that statue there? Did the police arrest him because of the statue?
No, he had a stolen gun.
Okay, well, then
that's,
I rest my case.
That's the first pickle that launched this into the public eye. All right, we've been talking about the U.S. controversy related to Brett Kavanaugh, the U.S. Supreme Court Justice, and a woman, Professor Ford from California, who has indicated that he held her down on a bed back in the 1980s and tried to remove her clothes. He was inebriated at the time. Of course, that was nearly 40 years ago. So what instance or infraction 40 years ago should we stand trial for today? One of our listeners sends a text saying Ford doesn't seem willing to testify at the Senate hearing. Well, yeah, she added the caveat lately that she wouldn't testify unless and until the FBI investigates, but that's not an appropriate investigating agency for that kind of crime. So, I mean, you can use the FBI to vet candidates for crimes that you know that have occurred, but it's not usually used to launch investigations into crimes that occurred nearly 40 years ago.
I think what would happen, as I said, as I understand it, from hearing people talk about the way the process would work out, if Dianne Feinstein had sent that letter to the FBI, they would have just passed it on to the president or to the president's vetting team to question him about, and then they would have to decide whether or not to go forward with the nomination based on that.
She still hasn't said why she held on to the letter until lately, so we'd love to hear that answer.
Well, somebody outed her. I mean, apparently she didn't want to go public with this, but I mean, I think that obviously, I think for political purposes, someone sent it to the Washington Post, gave them her name, and they published it.
All right, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We're talking about Judge Kavanaugh. It would seem unlikely that's going to fill this whole hour, but we would love to hear your comment now. 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. Chris, you're on the mark.
Hi, mateys.
Thank you.
Good to hear your voice there, pal.
Anyway, the idea that nobody's going to change their mind is very possibly wrong. The two pro-choice senators, Republican senators, have not committed either way yet. And this certainly could have an effect on how they vote.
Well, Senator Toomey says he has an open mind, too.
And so you repeated that about four times, though, and I don't think it's true.
Think any Democrat will change their mind if he turns out to be telling the truth?
Oh, if he turns out to be telling the truth, yes.
You do?
Oh, yes. I think West Virginia would.
Joe Manchin?
And a couple others, possibly.
Elizabeth Warren, you think she's got an open mind?
I think she's against them.
Yes,
but
sir.
I don't think this last thing is, she thinks there's enough evidence against them like I do. He's a political operator who's dissembled under oath, and he used stolen documents without reporting them. And he did several other things that I think are disqualifying for the Supreme Court.
If they're crimes, why wasn't he arrested? Why wasn't he charged?
Joe, really?
Yeah, really. If you said he used illegally used documents, that's a crime.
Well, because they kept it hidden in the White House. That didn't come out till lately, and that 7 years is probably passed now, isn't it?
7 years has passed, but we're going to consider a 35-year-old charge someone else makes?
Well, you asked, one question at a time. admit that that's the reason, okay? And then we'll go on to your next question if you're going to keep me on this.
Well, you go ahead.
Okay, and I don't think the judge guy, I think his last name is Judge, his friend, I don't think he wants to testify under oath. And I don't see why talking about the three friends, I didn't quite get how that was out of context from saying that what happened in Georgetown Prep stays in Georgetown Prep. I'm not quite sure
I can explain
how that's ameliorating. You didn't explain that very well.
She left out the fact that he was obviously making a joke. If she had run the full context of it, it was clear he was joking.
Oh, I saw it on TV, so I knew he was making a joke, but he wasn't. He was joking about having probably been drunk in law school at one time. He was telling stories about being drunk in law school. His friend told stories about being drunk in high school, starting at age 14, and he wrote a memoir of it with the Sir Kavanaugh or somebody like that.
O. Kavanaugh,
as a person in the in his memoir, and so there and. So, what did say in Georgetown Prep that you did? Were you a heavy drinker at the time? Is that part of the story confirmed? That, yeah, you might have gone to a party and gotten really wasted. Is that part of the story that's now confirmed? All sorts of things can be done. But I really wanted to call today and rant about the malarkey on your show yesterday.
Malarkey?
Yes. The last poll about only being good because of Christian belief in God. I mean, religion has been a civilizing force in the world quite often. But the idea that if you don't believe in God, you're going to start killing your neighbors or stealing from them or break all the laws you can get away with. I mean, what kind of...
I don't remember that.
I don't remember that either.
Except
Chris.
Your religious ones and your fear of God of being punished in the afterlife, is that the only thing that makes you honest and upright? If that's the case, I feel sorry for you.
Well, I don't. Did one of our callers say something that leads you to believe
that? Yes, the last one of the day. He said, if it wasn't for belief in God, everything goes.
That was Al. Okay, right. All right. I got you. I believe he did say something along those lines.
Yes,
you're right.
He did.
Okay.
And Dan, the dregs comment. I looked at the dregs comment of Biden, and it was severely limited. It didn't say Trump voters were the dregs. It said that some of the people who, a very small percentage of the people are, he used another word, and then some of them are the dregs. But a very small number of percentage of Trump voters had some kind of negative thing, and then some of those are the dregs. And he was kind of referring to the KKK and the alt-right at the time.
But there's no dregs on the Democratic side that he identified.
I would not say that. I don't think Joe would necessarily say that. But he was talking about the civil rights for the LGBTQ community, and I don't think he went on with all the extra letters. I don't know, that maybe their organization does, that he might have been talking to, but that was never said by Joe, and you sort of were making fun of that, and it sounded like that's what Joe was calling them and adding all the letters.
More misinformation from Fox News, in other words, correct?
Well, no, from Joe.
Well, Joe's
and
channeling
Dan,
Fox
if
News.
If he's proud of voting for a person like Trump, and he's proud of what Trump did to get elected, and basically working with the Russians to smear Hillary, or in conjunction with the Russians, we don't quite know whether it was colluded or not, and he doesn't see anything wrong with that. Well, I feel sorry for Dan. I think he's violating his Christian principles. And all these people being saved from rooftops on their in North Carolina, that's socialism, you know. We have no obligation to do that. Why should my tax dollars go to people who are too dumb to get out of their houses? That's socialism, having to spend money to save them.
No, it isn't. It's Christian charity.
Oh, it's Christian charity. Okay.
If you want to describe it as something.
If somebody's dying of a disease, giving them treatment. If somebody's ill, giving them treatment. Is that also Christian charity?
If you
maybe
show up
that should be in the law also.
If you show up at an emergency room and you're sick, you get care whether you can pay for it or not.
Yes, and that's the expensive way to do it. The cheap way to do it is to get health care for everybody.
Well, the important thing is that
and
it happens.
And that's the Christian way to do it.
But they don't call it, the hospitals don't call it Christian care. They call it compassionate care or uncompensated care.
Right.
But that's part of their mission.
Christianity is not always compassionate, and it has no corner on compassion.
Right. Well, nobody's going to argue
could
that.
Could be Judaic compassion. I'd have no problem with that. Or Islamic compassion.
Or atheistic.
Well, the fact
compassion.
Is, a lot of people's faith
and,
lead
know,
them
the,
to be compassionate.
The
yeah, look at Joe.
You have about three statements of insults to right-wing people everybody talks about. The guns and clinging to guns and religion. The Hillary statement about basket of deplorables, and that makes it sound worse than it is, because a lot of things can be deplored and you're not insulting the people who you are deploring. So deplore and deplorable kind of shifts the meaning, and it was probably unintentional. And she also backtracked on that and retracted it. And but I get insulted all the time by people on the right.
Including
to
now.
Those religious shows that Dan loves so much. Us leftists are traitors, anti-American, agents of Satan. I get that all the time.
One of our listeners sends us a text, says, what does Chris think that Professor Ford and the Democrats are? They're political operatives, every single one of them.
Political operatives. There's nothing wrong with being a political operative. It's what it's the degree of civility and honesty you operate by.
Another text says, Chris has no proof against President Trump other than CNN fake news. Trump won the election by working...
Well, as soon as you say CNN fake news, then you're...
We lost you.
You've
okay.
shown your colors, you
okay.
know?
Right, well, yeah, this is a conservative sending us the note. Trump won the election by working...
Tell me which news is fake.
Let me finish the text.
Okay, all right,
it says, it's all right. President Trump won election by working his butt off while Hillary figured she had it in the bag. Russian collusion was on the Democratic side.
Yeah. Well, I haven't seen any evidence of that yet either, have we?
No, but it'll pop up.
Dan was talking yesterday.
Well, Hillary did eat a lot of borscht during the campaign.
Documents. And you have Trump, who he's going to release what? The things that make the FBI look bad and hide the, and keep classified the things that make him look bad?
He said all of the documents, Chris. He said all of the documents. All of them.
What?
All
right.
He said he released all the documents.
And they also endanger the, our people who are feeding this information.
Thank you so much, Chris, for all the good
the
food
FBI
for thought.
And the other people don't like that, you know.
Very much appreciated. Thank you, sir.
Bye.
1-800-795-9565. Cindy gets a minute of fame. Welcome on board. Thank you for calling back.
Thank you. Socialism is when the government owns the means of production.
Right.
If the rescuing in any situation is done solely by government employees, then yes, that would be socialism. But quite to the contrary, here in the United States, frequently, if not nearly always, people, neighbors, volunteer fire and rescue companies, the Cajun Navy, as they are referred to.
And
in
the storm trackers from York County were down there.
Exactly. And those are all volunteers, and that is not socialism. Socialism would be just if only the Navy and the Guard and all those people, only if they were allowed. Now, there are ridiculous situations in which the government tries to control things and says, no, no, we don't want any volunteers. We only want our paid personnel. We want control. But that is not the case in this situation, nor is it usually the case when it comes to responding. My father spent a month in Louisiana as a part of a Habitat project. Habitat is not socialism. Thank you, gentlemen.
All right. Thank you very much. All right. 1-800-795-9565. We just received an email from the governor's office. Tomorrow, the Wolf administration is going to discuss extreme weather challenges and offer resources for Pennsylvanians. So there's another good news release from the governor's office. It says executives from PennDOT, PEMA, and the insurance department will discuss this year's historic weather impacts, how the state is analyzing, preparing for extreme weather, and how Pennsylvanians can ready themselves over the next 4 years.
During my second term.
All right. I saw on Channel 16 the other day, they had a graph of all the rain we've had. 50 inches at Williamsport Regional Airport this year. That's crazy.
Well, and they, I think Gordon Deal had on his program this morning, so many trillions of gallons of water were dumped.
Oh, from the,
North
yeah,
Carolina.
300 trillion. Right, I saw that number, too. Yeah, who's out there measuring this? It starts out with the Weather Channel and a thimble, and they fill it up, and that becomes a bucket, which becomes a truck full, which becomes a trillion. All right, 1-800-795-9565. Taking a quick break. Returning shortly. We're still talking about Judge Kavanaugh and bad Democrats, I guess, is the sub-theme.
No, I think Chris was talking about bad Republicans.
Well, right. You're talking about bad Democrats.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. No, not the holidays. I'm talking about back to school. The sound with the pencil sharpener as it makes the perfect point. The satisfying smell of a fresh box of crayons. Organizing my backpack so everything I need is right at my fingertips. I'm a busy kid in a busy family, so time management is a must. We don't have time to waste waiting for hours for our prescriptions. So Mom calls ahead to our hometown pharmacy. They get our refills ready and boom, we're in and out fast, just like me on the soccer field.
Discover the hometown pharmacy difference today at Lewisburg Pharmacy, North 2nd Street, Lewisburg. Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Route 35, Mount Pleasant Mills. Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, Market Street, Bloomsburg. Norrie Pharmacy, Duke Street, Northumberland. Trotz Pharmacy, Walnut Street, Mifflinburg. And the Danville Pharmacy, Mill Street, Danville.
I know what you're thinking. Most 9-year-olds don't feel this way about school. My parents hope my excitement lasts until at least the actual holiday break. I say it'll last our year. I got this.
15 men on a dead man's chest. Yo ho ho, and a bottle of rum. Drink and the devil be done for the rest. Yo ho ho, and a bottle of rum.
Mark was talking, so I didn't hear. How many dead men is that on the chest there, Rob?
16.
16, okay.
Well, we got
quite a few men on that dead man's chest.
Got that clarified. No wonder he's dead. All right, 1-800-795-9565, the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line.
Arrg.
Thank you.
Arrvast. We have a phone caller, I believe.
Oh, brother. Tony, you're on the mark.
Yeah, good morning. I can say this, Kavanaugh. accusation, this woman. This is such a fiasco. She is being used, all right, by the liberal media and the liberals in the Senate. My opinion is they threw this story out there to give cover to Democrats that may have voted for Kavanaugh. Because I think there was about six of them that were going to vote for Kavanaugh. I mean, what other reason could there be? This story is nothing. She can't even confirm. She makes an accusation, but she can't confirm the details. Think about that. People are talking about an FBI investigation of a high school swim party.
Well, it was 40 years ago. I mean, it's not likely that you would remember all the details. What did you do 40 years ago today?
Exactly. You won't want to know.
Well, you know about the traumatic incidents that happened to you 30-some years ago.
Well, I would think so, yeah, but I'm sure there's some of them. I mean,
so you don't believe her, right?
I don't even think of it, no.
Okay, well, that's
fine. I can't say. I wasn't there, and neither was anybody else other than her, and maybe Kavanaugh, and maybe that other guy, because she's not even sure it was him.
Not sure it was the other guy. She's sure it was Kavanaugh, or says she's sure it was Kavanaugh.
In some interviews, look at all of her interviews. Remember the first time she said she saw it?
No, I didn't hear that interview.
Well, she's clear in the letter.
That was when the story first came out. And, you know, she is being used. Everybody's right. And she is going to be thrown away when this is all over. Then she's going to have to fend for herself.
All right. Thank you so much,
well,
Tony. Appreciate
the
call.
Involved. There are a lot of book deals involved in these types of
things. She's a professor. She needs to get a book going.
Right. Publish or perish.
Dan, you are on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, good morning, guys. Well, in answer to the collusion, there, and I know, Pete, you don't get all the news on CNN. You don't get all the news on MSNBC. You don't even get it in our local newspapers. So some of us have to go to other sources to get our news. And the problem is the news report is not reported on the Steele dossier, the fake dossier that's been used to try to keep the president, our current president, from being elected, and to try to get his make him ineffective in office, and that's not brought out. And another part that's not brought out is the Clinton Foundation paid to have that Steele dossier made. And it's been declared fake by the FBI, but nevertheless, it's been leaked in and being used as fake news against the president and his doing. So that's the real collusion right there, and it's not brought out at all. As I said, there's been several books came out. The best ones by Greg Jarrett, and I challenge these people that doubt what I'm saying. Read the book and find out if I'm nuts or if there is true collusion in the upper echelon of the FBI. It's not the lower agents. They're dedicated workers. It's the one, Strzok, Lisa Page, and several others in the Justice Department. Brannon's another one. They're on CNN every night putting Trump down. Brannon's on again last night, but about not to release these papers. They don't want it because it's going to shine light on what really happened. The truth can come out, but if I don't know what'll happen if the Democrats win in the next election here in about 50 days. I don't know if they can hold down the truth or not. They've been doing pretty good with it, but people that want to know the truth, they can learn it.
All right. We got you. Thank you so much, Dan.
Yep. And thank you. Thank you very much.
Take care.
You're welcome. Have a great
day. Thank you, Elvis. Elvis has left the building.
All right. 1-800.
You know, it sounds like we're having a problem with the equipment. No. Were you going to take a break, or can I say something first?
Both are true. You go.
Okay. I don't want to get involved with moral equivalency, but I want to go back to Kavanaugh for a minute, because someone needs to explain to me the difference here. Here you have no evidence. In other words, there is no blue dress with a stain on it that links Brett Kavanaugh to this woman. And if, you know, if President Clinton wasn't forced to resign when all of this came out, why should an accusation, an unproven accusation, as opposed to a proven accusation in his case, why should that disqualify you from serving?
Well, I don't think it should. I don't think it would.
How many people were calling for Bill Clinton to resign among the Democrats? I don't think any. I think Republicans were calling for him. They impeached him, which was the wrong thing to do, I think. You know, and unfortunately, he was not convicted of the impeachment charges. But still, I look at this, and there was definite proof. He denied it at first, but there was definite proof in the blue dress with Monica Lewinsky brought forward.
Or with none of that exists that we know of in this particular case. So something's going to turn up. You'll see. There'll be some tangible evidence. Somebody took a Polaroid picture or something.
Well, and our next writer says, and he makes a great point. He says, good morning, fellas. Why does Kavanaugh have to prove himself innocent? Since when are we now saying guilty till proven innocent? The whole thing is a crock of unpleasant stuff. You don't like to use the word crap on the air, right? And the American people are wise to it. God bless our country and president signed a deplorable dreg from Lower Augusta Township.
Right. Well, I don't think Judge Kavanaugh has to prove himself innocent. I think the purpose of all hearings is to hear all of the information that's against you so they can formulate, you know, how you might vote on important topics. Have you conducted yourself in a lawful and virtuous way? And for him, in the last 30 years, he has verifiable evidence that the answer is yes. So, but she came forward, so, you know, I don't think the Senate can ignore her.
What they used to call around the White House when Bill Clinton was president, they called them bimbo eruptions. You had all these
kept
people
popping up, sure,
making claims. Now, as far as I know, there's only this one accusation against Judge Kavanaugh. I wouldn't be surprised if they were able to dig up some other people who, for the right price, would come forward and testify. I'm going to let you do a break now.
Well, that would be perjury, wouldn't it?
Well, it would be political theater of the highest order.
All right, 1-800-795-9565. New topic, first sentence of our next discussion.
Right. A school district in Pearland, Texas, is taking a closer look at their dress code policy after a male student was given an in-school suspension for wearing makeup in class, prompting an online petition.
1-800-795-9565 is our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line. Our show sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
What are you saying here, Joe?
So why not have a square table? Why always a round?
We do have a square table. Well, it's kind of an
oblong table.
It's oblong, and what is this shape? There's a name for it. It's not a trapezoid. It's a...
It's oblong.
It's a chickenazoid.
A chickenazoid, right.
All right. 1-800-795-9565 is the hometown pharmacy's toll-free line. Okay, read the first sentence again.
A school district in Pearland, Texas, is taking a closer look at their dress code policy after a male student was given an in-school suspension for wearing makeup in class, prompting an online petition. The unidentified high school student reportedly received the disciplinary action at Shadow Creek High School for violating the Alvin Independent School District's dress code policy that says boys may not wear makeup. According to KHOU-TV, the teenager was given a choice to either remove the makeup or go to in-school suspension. The student refused to remove it and was sent to in-school suspension. After word of the incident spread around the school, an online petition at change.org calling for the dress code to be updated. The petition gained nearly all of its 1,500 signatures in 4 days, its goal. The goal has since been changed to 2,500. Alvin Independent School District has a dress code policy in place that includes several gender-biased policies, such as preventing boys from wearing makeup and earrings, both things that girls are allowed to wear. These policies are based entirely on outdated and sexist gender standards, the petition reads. We are asking for the Alvin Independent School District to review and modify their dress code so that it is free of gender discrimination. So boys would not be allowed to wear spaghetti straps.
No. Girls wouldn't be allowed to wear muscle shirts. Are boys allowed to wear those? I would think so.
Well, I don't know. What are you allowed to wear and what aren't you allowed to wear? I
mean, but no earrings on boys. That hardly seems... Boys wear earrings all over the place nowadays.
Well, the makeup, I think, is what started the issue. I don't know what the nature of the makeup was. I mean, did he come in with his lips painted and rouge or whatever?
Just
they don't
a little
use
bit
rouge
of
rouge anymore. I guess I'm dating myself.
A little bit of mascara. It doesn't really matter. Boys should be allowed to. It's unusual that he wants to, but I don't think to make it illegal. I don't think that's proper.
Well, is he transitioning?
We don't.
If he
who
was,
knows?
I think it's just making that claim. They aren't saying it's based on his gender identity.
I just think he's stirring up trouble where he sees it possible and is trying to be an iconoclast.
Well, do schools have the right to enforce a dress code? You know,
well, they do, but I think it has to be fair and sort of legal. It can't be just based on random statements
well,
like
not.
Boys can't wear earrings.
Okay, well, it's based on the traditional, I would say, boy and girl.
Right.
Goals.
Well, yeah, that's obvious. So now they're going to have to change it.
Is that wrong now? Are we going to have to...
I think they will have to revise it to something that's more timely.
Like
because,
what?
Well, because boys wear earrings and nose rings and eyebrow rings and tongue rings, and so do girls, unfortunately.
Well, is school the proper place for your personal expression of who you are and what you want to
wear
be?
Wear better.
Well, I don't know.
Don't you want the kids to show their individuality okay. and the fact that they don't all dress like lemmings?
Well, let's say you sign up for the military. What's the first thing they do when they get you in there? They shave your head.
Right.
They break
they take
you down.
Your eye makeup off if you're a girl.
Right. So, I mean, you know, do they have a right to have a dress code?
I think schools should have a dress code, but I don't think it should limit that kind of thing just based on the sexes. You know, if girls want to wear jeans, they should be able to. And I guess if a boy wants to wear a dress, I suppose he should be able to. According to this, he wouldn't be able to.
In my day, boys weren't. Suppose a girl wanted to wear a beard to school. She couldn't grow it herself, but she went out and bought a fake beard and decided
and glued
to paste
it on
because she thought she'd like to have a beard.
She wants to have facial hair. Are beards restricted on boys in the school? They might.
Well,
be
they
restricted.
Used to be. I mean, in my day, you couldn't have a mustache or a beard when you went to high school. I mean,
okay.
they would have you in the principal's office and you'd be shaving that thing off.
Okay.
Today, I understand that they don't seem to have any rules against beards or mustaches.
And there's
or
no
facial
requirement
hair.
To shave for teenagers.
No, you don't have to do that. I mean, I haven't. I've seen a lot of guys in school. I've seen some with tattoos, which in my day would not have been permitted either.
Right. Well, it's time for Texas to bring their school, this particular district, to bring their district
okay, well,
school
so,
code up to the right century.
So what code would you have that didn't violate someone's personal right to be expressive, if you will?
Well, I think
what would the Marktopian school policy
I
for dress
don't
code
know.
Be?
As a conservative white male, I don't think I'm able to make that determination. But I think you could come up with a dress code that would be acceptable.
To whom?
To maybe a committee of individuals, you know, of
but
men
that's who,
and
that's
women.
Who, that's who did it in the first place. It was probably a committee of individuals, men
probably
and women
the school
were on
board.
The school board. Yeah.
Right. So... Well, I think it's time for revising. So whoever revises it may be a more diverse group.
Well, one of our writers says, I see the school also forbids males from wearing earrings, clearly an effort to marginalize pirates.
Oh, man. See, I told you, the young man is an iconoclast. That's what I called him.
And then she said, the school policy is ridiculous. What harm is there in wearing makeup? Well, I don't know. I don't. What's the nature of the makeup? If I came in with clown makeup on, would that be acceptable? I want to be a clown, so I come in with you know.
Or if what if you want to be a female clown? You come in a dress and clown makeup. Would that be acceptable? I think there's something in the code about not making a spectacle of yourself. You know that your clothes are so garish that they call attention to them.
Right. Was makeup? Are we going to define the makeup? Suppose I come in as a white person in blackface. That would be offensive to many, many people in that school, I would assume.
Why don't we get rid of dress codes altogether and focus on our listener here says, I wonder what the academic achievement at this school is. Isn't that where the administration should focus, says a fellow iconoclast. So
the focus should be on education. Certainly it should. But does how you look have anything to do with the kind of educational environment you're in?
Well,
In other words, if we're all distracting each other, I come dressed as a clown, you come in blackface, a woman comes in with a beard on, what are we doing?
I think if everyone's distracted, then no one's distracted. Then distraction is just the way to be.
Well, I can see the makeup issue. I mean, I don't, unless it's egregious.
Well, and earrings, too. I mean, boys wear earrings.
Yeah, they do.
I know a guy in this room who has an earring.
And it's not me.
All right. One of our listeners sends us a text. It says, dress code should be about clothes, not makeup. If girls can wear it, why can't boys? If they feel they need to. Wouldn't be my cup of tea, but that's me, says Stan. Yeah, Stan doesn't wear any eye makeup. I can vouch for that. I've met him in person, and he's clean shaven and no makeup.
If the boy wanted to do it, that's okay. But, I mean, I can see the dress code right now says you can't do it at all. But how do you write a dress code that allows a boy to wear makeup equivalent to what a woman or girl might wear, but not so ridiculous that he would come in, let's say, in blackface or with a clown's face on? I mean, if one wants to do one thing, why not the other? There's all sorts of makeup. If you say boys may wear makeup, what kind may they wear?
Some of the kids that are believers in the goth
idea,
they wear a lot of sort of white makeup on their face.
And black.
Well, they wear black, but they wear white makeup on their face.
Well,
so I don't know. Maybe we shouldn't restrict it at all whatsoever. Let's just focus on academics. Teachers present and students learn, and we'll go from there.
Then we have this other one, an Ohio high school teacher who allegedly assigned a bizarre quiz last week on the morality of incest and killing animals resigned Monday amid swift parental backlash, the Columbus Dispatch reported. Sarah Gilliam, 35, who had been an English teacher at Hilliard Bradley High School since 2007, said her quiz was intended to be thought-provoking, a district spokesman said. The quiz reportedly listed 36 scenarios in which students were to respond on a 7-step scale ranging from not okay to okay. Among the bizarre questions on the quiz obtained by the Columbus television station were, quote, a man kills a baby rabbit with a knife on a live TV show, and a brother and sister decide they want to sleep with each other just once to see what it would be like, but use a condom and the pill. The quiz's website, IDRLabs.com, contains other quizzes. One determines the quiz taker's gender, while another rates the quiz taker's level of agreement with statements by President Trump. One of the students' parents, Todd Sandberg, said he posted a description of Gilliam's assignment on Facebook to inform other parents after his son described it to him. Sandberg told the Dispatch his post caused a firestorm, as I can imagine it would. So, I mean, you know, schools are not places, and I think this ties in loosely with the dress code. I don't think they're high school or elementary school or intermediate school or middle school are places for social experimentation. They are places to learn. And to the extent that you take away learning as the primary objective and focus it on whether or not I'm allowed to wear makeup or whether or not a teacher can assign a bizarre questionnaire.
Or boys can wear dresses.
Right. You know, you've... There has to be some form of order. I mean, when you hit 18 and you want to dress with makeup and you want to wear a dress around the house and you're a boy, fine. You know, but up until that point, up until the time
when you're
that
in
you
the public school,
adult,
you got
to public school. You should conform to public norms.
Right,
is
should.
That so much to ask?
You should walk and breathe and talk like everyone else, and try to think like everyone else, so that later you
no,
are
you won't
like
be an iconoclast. If you do
you
that,
you will be like everyone. Yeah, no iconoclast would be permitted. Obviously, this school is interested in squelching the one that they do have, and hopefully, they won't squelch the rest of them.
But am I being so old-fashioned when I say that that the focus should be on learning, not on distractions?
I think if you had some school where they had, if you ever had a school where the true focus was real academics and not athletics and not worrying about all this peripheral stuff, I think all that stuff would fall together. If you had somebody that wore blackface, a boy that wore blackface and a dress to school, I think, you know, what difference would it make if everybody was actually focused on academics instead of people's appearances? I mean, that's what we're supposed to be focused on.
You had a story earlier that said a black man felt he wouldn't get a fair trial because there was a Confederate monument out there.
Well, that is very true. That would not happen. He would not get a fair trial.
Robert E. Lee High School. Can a black person get a good education at a high school named after a general in the Civil War who was on the Confederate side?
I think so, because he reassimilated after the war, and that's the part we remember. On that exact topic, one of our listeners says, do we really think the people of that local area tend to be racist? Not having a Confederate statue in front of the courthouse will change that. I think what they mean is that it won't change that. If the people are racist on the jury...
I think they were being facetious. You know, take the courthouse, take the statue away, and if they're racist,
and suddenly
they
they're accepting. No, I think taking the statue down will be part of the region's hearts and minds joining the right century. So, all right, we are talking dress codes. We'll take speedy dialers and speedy emailers, 1-800-795-9565. We've got to read this, too. It relates to the CBO and revenue that's coming into the U.S. coffers, so we're going to read that. And tomorrow at this time, Joe and I are going to argue about incidental things, but at 9:06, we're going to hear from Sherry Jacobson, who will be here in person. She's from the local Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense in America group, and she'll be talking about the legislation that's stuck in Harrisburg as it relates to taking guns away from dangerous individuals, men and women, who are named as dangerous perpetrators in protection from abuse orders. Of course, the state legislature is not interested in acting on that because it could be perceived as a form of gun control. Then we are going to hear from Margaret Quinn, one of the authors of the legislation that's stuck. She's from Doylestown, PA, and she'll be on the news line. So that's tomorrow morning at 9:10. We'll take our last commercial break, and we'll be right back.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. We've been using and enjoying and having fun, and we've been having a blast with the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line, which is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy in Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg, and the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop. They want you to know that every dollar you spend locally at a local pharmacy gets spent 10 times over in your local community. You can support a lot of people in your local communities, churches, sports teams, charities, fire companies, you name it, because not only do you support those nonprofit groups, but the pharmacists in those hometowns do, too. Don't be surprised to see a softball team with the name Nori Pharmacy on it, or Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, or Lewisburg Pharmacy, or Trutz Pharmacy, or Shade Mountain Pharmacy, or Danville Pharmacy. That's a realistic possibility because they're sponsoring sports teams, charities, fire companies, police fundraisers, the policeman's ball, you name it. They're all in support of that, and so they support them, and so do you. When you go to a hometown pharmacy, they're sponsoring our toll-free line. Chris, thank you so much for calling in. There's a mistake on here. Our console, it says you agree with Stan, which I know that...
Yeah, on the makeup, I think he was very completely right on that one.
What?
Don't worry about it.
Well, move
just
on.
Get on with education or something.
Right, yeah, focus on academics.
And I'd like to... And I think Sydney's got to worry about what's socialistic as opposed to what's socialism. And I wonder how disruptive it would be in school if you wore, say, a tuxedo or an evening gown. Do you think that? What do you think? You think that would be disruptive, too?
Sure would be.
Yep. We'd have to ban it. Yep.
But if everybody's disruptive, then they might get used to it and would no longer be disruptive.
That's exactly right.
Let everybody do their thing, right?
Yeah.
This is WKOK Sunbury.